Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Tonight, we are going to be doing a live stream on the Daystar scandal, specifically Joni Lamb and her response. She did a recent interview with Marcus Rogers, which I wanted to dive into tonight, but I'm a little delayed because we've had a lot of... This video has been removed from YouTube and not really with any real explanation as to why it was removed, which is kind of interesting. I guess shame on me for not saving it in time to react to it as soon as a lot of other YouTubers could react to it. But nonetheless, there is a story here that we are going to cover. This, I thought, was a pretty fascinating interview. I think Marcus Rogers is a pretty interesting individual for how he handled this situation. And there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. Obviously, a lot of riled up people on the internet about this entire scandal in general who aren't exactly thinking straight or thinking biblically about the issue of accusations being made against one party or another. A lot of things to consider with this story. We want to be biblical in handling this type of situation. So I'm trying to formulate how I'm going to do this stream now that the video has been removed, because I had my time stamps ready. I had a lot of things ready. And this interview was wild. Like, Joni Lamb just absolutely emasculates her son, Jonathan Lamb. And, you know, basically insinuates that Susie wears the pants in the relationship and she's the one seeking a power play at Daystar, which is a nine-figure televangelism network. So to me, that's more of what's at play here. This is a lot of underlying drama, but there's, you know, these people want, it's sort of a power battle at an ugly evangelical institution. And I don't think Daystar is a legitimate place of evangelicalism in general. Like, I don't think it's a force for good. When Joni Lamb, during this Marcus Rogers interview, discusses all the good things that Daystar does, you know what she says? The first thing that she says is how much Daystar helps Israel. So clearly this is not a Christian organization, because the first, like, you can't even say that, you know, you advance the gospel. It's like you're trying to count your merits and it's how you help a foreign nation. It's just insane. But this story has definitely gotten a lot of, you know, people in the comments section, because we got to think biblically about this. And I was, you know, very fair in the last video I did, examining one side. So there's one side that that made the allegations. And the big thing with them is that they went to Julie Roy's, which is a red flag. Doesn't mean that they're wrong. But if you went to Julie Roy's, who's a feminist, who's a liberal, she does not go to a real church. So there's no real spiritual accountability there. And this much is definitely up to date, is that Julie Roy's, her ministry, is not an actual organization in and of itself. It uses a liberal college and their nonprofit status to fund. So her ministry is controlled by a liberal college, which is a major red flag. So if you were to donate to her ministry, you would have to donate through this college. Now, they are somewhat upfront about that, but it is not legitimate in that sense. It is completely legal though, but if you're beholden to a liberal college, you know, what does that say about you? And if you're publishing religion news service, very left-wing outlet, what does that say about you? Also, you know, just doctrinally, they went to someone who has definitely embraced abuse narratives, whether they're true or false. So when you have when you go to someone who has a history of making false allegations against, you know, people like John MacArthur. Now, John MacArthur, not perfect, but she's definitely accused him of a lot of salacious things that are not true. So on this issue, she basically called him a murderer over, you know, COVID. And she definitely made pretty nonsensical arguments about his wealth. Now, he's rich, but part of what she goes after him for being wealthy are real estate holdings that he's had in Southern California for decades. So they went to Julie Roys, which is shady. And then this is Julie Roys at work. They hid very important material details in that they have a smoking gun moment, which is when this guy named Pete, who I believe is Rachel Lamb's husband, walks in on a girl who's changing in her bathing suit, and they misrepresent and hide the detail that not only was he holding his kid, but the girl's brother was also in the same room. So they hide key details from their side of the story. And then they admit these details later on. They issue a correction. But at the end of the day, first of all, the false news spreads faster than the correction. Second of all, if this doesn't change anything, why wasn't it included in the first place? Some people in my comment section tried to argue that it was as bad as it, you know, that doesn't change how bad it is. I'm like, then you should have included that detail if it didn't change how bad it was. So Marcus Rogers has removed the video, and I've not been able to find like a replacement or a re-upload anywhere in the short notice. Shame on me for not downloading it ahead of time. Also have some technical difficulties. I am using a new microphone, so thank you all for your support of the channel. That we can upgrade our microphone and go from a $30 microphone to a much better microphone that cancels out background noise, which I do my best to make sure is not a problem on the regular, but I just say. So Marcus Rogers is a pretty interesting character in all of this. He has taken down the video that he did, and he interviewed Susie Lamb when she admitted that she made a mistake publicly. When I say that, I mean, when she admitted that Pete was holding the kid, and she allowed them to kind of spread those lies. And he would eventually go on to interview Joni Lamb because in the interest of hearing both sides, and that was biblical. I actually agreed and I commend him for that. But then he took down both interviews if I wanted to check. But rather than let it stand, but he is not happy with himself for having conducted this interview. Let's watch this clip, go from here.
Before I speak about anything, and I'm going to try to make this short, sweet, and simple. Number one, I repent publicly, all right, for jumping into what I thought was a pool, and it became an ocean of mess and drama. I remember when God gave me that word about he's going to expose the roots of things, and it was going to sound like a movie. This is literally like a movie. And even though, you know, my heart, you know, I don't want to say was in the right place, I felt like, hey, I just want to share my platform with Jonathan and Susie so they can speak out, share the side of this story. The reality of the matter is I was not informed, and if anything, shouldn't have got involved, but if anything, I should have just let them send a video in where I'm not interviewing them. They're just telling their side of the story, and then I just post it and I don't say anything and just let God be the judge. I made a mistake going down there, not being informed about both sides of the story. The Bible says a fool only hears one side of the matter. I made a foolish decision. I made a decision that was based on you know, I thought I have personal experience with dealing with people who have been abused. I've confronted abusers in the church, in the pulpit. I've seen them go to jail. I was emotional because it disgusts me, the thought of something like that happening to a child. And to be honest, when I read the story, I'm like, there's no way in the world you're going public, you know, against your mom like this, you know, and what your father built and says kind of things. But the reality of the matter is that was not wisdom. The Bible says a fool only hears one side of the matter. And I was a fool to go down there, even though I thought I was doing the right thing. What I should have did, God, send me a video, I'll upload it so your side can be heard, right? And so with that being said, I want to, you know, I'm praying for the daughter, the granddaughter, because she's the real victim in all of this, regardless of how you look at it. She's a victim of a billion-dollar Christian company having this fallout. And so I want to say this, right? I made a mistake, and now it's like, okay, I got to clean it up. I got everybody calling me. Now, mind you, there's a lot of people praising me. There's a lot of people saying, Marcus, that was awesome. You did the right thing. The easy thing, obviously, would have been just to leave it there and leave it alone. The problem is I did ignore some red flags. I felt some things in the spirit. I knew everything wasn't, you know, but I did something and it was foolish. Bottom line. And so to the daughter, to the granddaughter, right? I'm praying for you. And so I got all these phone calls from these pastors, and all the pastors, even though they didn't agree on everything that was going on, they pretty much were saying the same things privately that I was feeling. And one of the things that they said, even though they didn't agree, is they said the biblical and honorable thing for you to do is for you to go get Joni's side of the story, because you inserted yourself, because you went.
So there we have it in one sense. I'm not overly familiar with Marcus Rogers. And part of what I think he struggles in the actual interview of Joni is the fact that he is also divorced. So he is very much goes softball on that part of the interview. But in general, I thought it was fair for him to get both sides of the story since he inserted himself in the situation. So I actually commend his work in doing that. Now, does that mean that he gave a perfect interview? No, I was not expecting him to be a great interviewer, but he did insert himself in the situation. He did essentially take a side by interviewing Susie and Joni Lamb, Susie and Jonathan Lamb, who essentially, you know, they're not exactly reliable interviewees. And then he then interviews Joni Lamb just to get the other side, and she is, I guess the way to say it is that I think she is more honest when talking about her son, but I don't think she was very honest when talking about herself. That was my impression of her. Like, when she's trying to justify her marriage, I don't think it goes particularly well. Again, you can disagree, but overall, I don't think... I'm not sure why he deleted the interview or both interviews, but I just think that, to me, is not the right thing to do. You should just let it stand. But in any case, those are just some of my initial thoughts. So the interview that he gives with Joni Lamb, I would summarize as this, like, you know, and I have timestamps in my notes, which would have been useful if it was still on YouTube. But anyway, so the first question he gives to Joni is just an absolute yikes. Joni is not happy with Jonathan. It shows. There's some underlying hatred there. She essentially says something along the lines of, God wanted me to experience this to show me that Jonathan was not fit to lead Daystar. And that's essentially her opening statement. She's like, yeah, I could have done some things better. I could have said some things better, but God wanted me to know that Jonathan was not fit to lead the company. And then she gives her account of the incident, and there were some interesting details that she revealed that were not previously known. So we already know about, hey, this Pete guy was holding the kid, and which completely changes the situation, which they knew about. And we already knew from their side of the story that Joni and Jonathan and Susie Lamb suspected Pete of being a pedophile, yet still decided to live in a house with him for about a week, despite this knowledge, despite this suspicion. So that makes no sense. Any responsible parent, if they suspected someone of being of molesting a child, they would not then decide to go on vacation with them. And what was interesting in Joni's interview is that they apparently did it again in 2022. So this event happened in 2021. They went back in vacation with them in 2022, despite this event. That makes no sense. And the other thing that they talk about was that their daughter was, they talk about the granddaughter of Joni Lamb, and that this incident happened at the preschool. And in the Julie Roy's article, it said there was no male staffers at the preschool, so the case didn't go anywhere, or the parents stopped suspecting that it had to do with the preschool. But Joni Lamb and Rachel Lamb also talk about how this was a child who inappropriately touched the daughter and another girl at the school. And that's what and Joni Lamb, according to her, that's what the police report was based off of. So that is so far a summary of some of the things in the interview. And to me, there's some corroboration with the other side in terms of the statement of facts. The preschool part, and the idea of it being a student that did something bad and not a teacher or a person, that's, I guess, a key dispute. But in either case, Jonathan and Susie Lamb suspected it of being someone at the preschool first, and then they go on to Pete. That is in their side of the story. So a lot of the stuff talks about the lie detector test, which I just don't care for that part of the interview as much. They apparently might have gotten, this Pete guy might have been exonerated with a polygraph test, which, again, is neither here nor there, because I don't know what was asked in the polygraph. Polygraphs and their admissibility is suspect. And there's nothing really to go off of when they're talking about all these details. So just to answer this question, what is going on? I guess at the end of the day, there's four things and four possibilities as to what is going on here. So, and that's a good place to leave off or to go into. Four possibilities. One, this guy named Pete did not abuse Susie and Jonathan Lamb's daughter. And they are lying about him because they are spoiled Nepo babies who want control of a Christian empire. That is one possibility. That is the malice, Pete innocent, malice assumed possibility. So that's one possibility. The opposite possibility is that this guy named Pete molested their daughter, and Joni Lamb is covering it up. That is the other possibility here. That's two of four possibilities. That is the Pete guilty, malice assumed option. So those are both of the malice options. This is a bit of a quadrant here, if you understand the visual picture. And then you have Jonathan and Susie Lamb are falsely accusing Pete, but they are sincere. Like, they actually believe that he did it, but they don't have evidence. But they sincerely believe that he did it, and Joni Lamb does not believe that Pete did it, and we have a clash there. That is the option of Pete being innocent, but there's no malice on the part of Jonathan and Susie Lamb on bringing these allegations against Joni Lamb and Daystar in general. And then we have the other side where Pete is guilty, but... So Jonathan and Susie Lamb are correct in their allegations, but Joni Lamb is not convinced of Pete's guilt because there's no evidence of Pete's guilt. So that is the option where Pete is guilty, but Joni Lamb is not acting maliciously insofar as she's defending Pete. Now, which one of these four options is it? Because it's really going to be one of these four, because Pete is either guilty or not guilty. And this is Greg asks, who would do a thing like that with three kids in the room in a house full of people? Exactly. And this was supposed to be the smoking gun moment, because up until then, they had no real evidence that Pete had did something. And this was a smoking gun. In the article, it's the salacious hook at the beginning of Julie Roy's article, is that this guy got wild eyes and went up the room and was in the room when the daughter was undressing. That was a salacious hook in the article. This was supposed to be this smoking gun moment that they caught this Pete guy red-handed, and that's apparently not what happened. They misrepresented it to make it seem like they caught him red-handed. So that was that's the smoking gun. That's kind of what we've talked about in the past. And Joni Lamb adds new insights to her side of the story in that they vacationed again in 2022. So the smoking gun incident allegedly took place in 2021. They went back in 2022 and still vacationed there. That is insane. If you are a parent, that if Jonathan and Susie Lamb truly agree or truly believe that this Pete guy did that, then they should never have had them in the same room together. So Marcus Rogers talks about him seeing situations like this. I've definitely seen situations like this, but a little bit more distant and stuff. So I've seen things like this mishandled up close, or not super up close, but in that the parents basically put up with a lot more than they should have. And then the justice system totally let the guy off easy. Like, I've seen that pretty up close. But anyway, this is from there. The interview gets a little bit more personal about Joni Lamb. She talks about her marriage. The fact is, her husband died. She remarried like a year and a half later. So I think her husband died in November of 2021. She remarries in June of 2023. So we're talking 19 months, give or take. Pretty quick turnaround on getting married. But that's, again, counting the fact that she got engaged and then, you know, was dating. So because there's a whole process, that's pretty quick. But on top of that, the guy that she married was coming off of a divorce, which, again, the Bible does not condone this behavior, especially when the guy who's divorcing his wife did not have biblical grounds for a divorce. So hopefully that's making sense. Oh, and she's older than the guy. Okay, I didn't fact check how old her second husband is, but a little bit surprising. But maybe the guy wanted a sugar mama. I guess that happens. Usually, older men who get divorced are trying to go for the younger model, like Bill Belichick, to give a topical example. But nonetheless, where it's pretty interesting is there's a very nice clip, and I think this is a pretty hilarious part of the interview, and that is Marcus or Joni Lamb calls her son basically emasculated. So that to me is the best part of the interview. Was she goes on for a minute basically saying that her son does not have balls and this guy has all the balls, Susie Lamb controls him and has got him by the balls. She basically says that in the interview. And I thought that part was wild. Imagine getting emasculated by your own mom, and she thinks that way about your marriage. And some people who subscribe to this channel are probably big on physiognomy. I'm not overly big on physiognomy, but it's true. He does look like the kind of guy that would be emasculated by his wife. And she definitely sounds like the type who would control the relationship. It does look like that. When they give an interview, it does look like that. It does look like she's the one in control of the marriage. And that's not biblical. Nothing at Daystar really is biblical because, again, they operate in the realm of female pastors. I think Joni Lamb being the head of this network is not biblical. So there's a lot of things that I don't think are biblical here. And the egalitarian nature of charismaticism, I don't hate charismatics. To me, the best charismatics are the ones who are patriarchal. They don't support female pastors. And typically, the charismatics that don't support female pastors, they're better on cultural issues because, again, they're not compromised on feminism. They still love Israel too much, but they're not compromised on things like feminism. They're not soft peddling homosexuality in their churches. They're generally the ones who are not going woke. So I don't believe that believing in the continuation of spiritual gifts makes someone a heretic. I don't believe in the secession of spiritual gifts makes you a heretic. I think this is a tertiary issue in that you can disagree and still go to the same church even. But that's a very Baptist belief of mine. So Marcus Lamb basically took down the interview, which to me, not cool. You should definitely keep up the interview. So let's go through some clips of the interview because there are some clips that are circulating and hopefully will be useful for this. So these are Rachel Lamb Brown, who's showcasing some highlights of the interview. Make sure that we're up.
I want to apologize to you, right, for a couple of reasons. After I have no issue saying, like, hey, I made a mistake or, jumped the gun on some things. First of all, I don't know if I would have got the interview if I had reached out. I'm just a YouTuber guy. I'm not operating on the level you guys are operating.
But we had a mutual friend who told me that I could trust you. Because it's not like I want to keep talking about this, but that YouTube world is your world. It's not my world. Yes. I mean, Daystar is my world. So I just appreciate you being willing to talk to me and hear the other side of the story because I don't have anything to hide.
And that is one thing that I respect about you. And people get real shifty, can't look in the eyes. Since I've been talking to you, saw you guys working here, I got to be honest, guys. I felt the Spirit of God when you were worshiping. So that was the first sign I was like, okay, there might be some things that maybe I missed and I might have jumped the gun.
So there you have Marcus Lamb prefacing the interview by sort of beginning with somewhat of apology for not giving both sides. Apparently, I'm trying to see if she has the. Let's see. This is the interesting part. I haven't talked about this part or made reference to it. This is where they talk about Julie Royce and her part. And I thought this part was kind of, I thought she was right about Julie Royce, but again, low hanging fruit of agreement here.
Why do you think they went to this one blogger lady? I forgot what her name is. Like, why not go to ABC or, if you really believe this is happening, I'm going to tell the whole world, I'm probably going to go to the biggest platform possible. Why did they go to that individual?
Well, because that's the only bottom feeder they could get. To carry the story, because that's what she does. And there's absolutely no evidence of anything. There was nothing that was done wrong. And like I told you, the whole thing to try to tarnish not only me, because I know God will protect me, but to tarnish Marcus Lamb is the most difficult part of all this.
Why?
So, not a big fan of her self-reflection in general, but she is right about Julie Royce. I think Joni Lamb is someone who will say things honestly about other people, but not about herself. That's just kind of my read on the interview. So when she's trying to justify her marriage and she's arguing that her marriage is above board, even though she just married a guy who's fresh off of a divorce, and it looks kind of shady. It looks like they were interacting inappropriately during those times, or, you know, she, you know, maybe when she was married to her husband before he passed, it looked shady, and she's trying to justify her actions and say that it was above board, but it doesn't really resonate. It doesn't come off as very sincere. But when she is angry, I think she's a little more brutally honest. That's just kind of my take on the Joni Lamb interview. She does not. I'm trying to see if there's a archive of this at the time, but that's the last clip that I would have shared, was when she talks about the blogger lady, Julie Roys. And that is just not exactly, no lies detected there. Julie Roys is very scummy. She's a liberal journalist, if you would call her a journalist, which I think is a little too high. But because she's basically a feminist activist in the church. They're all about the Me Too movement, and the Me Too movement is not a biblical movement. And I want to see some of this chat. So I like Marcus Rogers, haven't followed him recently, but he definitely seems out of place for him. I think part of what made him soft in the interview was the divorce part, because he's personally divorced, he wasn't really willing to challenge her on that. So he made a lot of comments like, I'm going to leave God up to judge. You know, God's going to be the judge and stuff like that. So he was very out of place there. I do respect his humility and wanting to understand both sides of the story, though. So that part I thought was commendable. I don't know anything else about Marcus Rogers, though. Yeah, and yeah, Roy's attacked Johnny Mack. Yeah, I kind of covered that earlier in the stream. And she made some lies about him as well. I've covered them in videos on the channel. She has a bone to pick with John MacArthur, and she's attacked him on some very unfair grounds. And then she's definitely attacked him on something that's more complicated, that there's no real evidence of him having acted with the information that he knew at the time in an incorrect manner. So RSC says Marcus is one this heretic. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know if that's true or not. I know he's in the charismatic lane. He's in the YouTube world, but YouTube's a vast ocean. Even when I'm not doing this, the channels that I watch are actually pretty eclectic. A lot of history stuff. I'm into history, so a lot of history channels and stuff like that. Some sports, some history. Not a lot of politics and not a lot of religious channels. So who pays Roy's? She has her own ministry, and it's through a liberal college. So that's the answer to who pays her. So she has donors through that. I mean, she has legitimate donors. I imagine she makes some money on YouTube, but there's no, you know, I don't think she's being funded by a seedy outlet. I don't think she's being funded by foreign nationals or something like that. No reason to think that at all. So I'll take some more questions on the incident. We kind of had a speed rush through the interview that Marcus Rogers gives Joni Lamb without actually seeing it. So he has huge videos against the Trinity. So Carol says, I just think this is so sad and so broken. There's a 5-year-old little girl that was messed with, and there's nothing that can be done or no more about it. But we're about everything else and she's innocent. I mean, yeah, the girl's innocent. Worst case scenario, Pete actually did this to her. Like, that's the worst case scenario. I guess in the middle ground is the incident at the preschool being the truth. And then the best case scenario for the little girl, at least in the headspace, I guess, short term, is that her parents are just using her as a pawn. Like, again, we don't know what actually happened, if anything actually happened to her. But she is being victimized by the people involved here. It could be all the people involved. It could just be her parents who are using her, and using a salacious issue to take down their company. Because I think, you know, Jonathan Lamb is a Nepo baby. I think that is kind of true. And he married a pretty, what's the way to put it? Someone with a spicy personality who definitely seems to be more controlling. So when you got, there's a lot of comparisons being made that he is Harry and she is Meghan. So the Meghan and Harry vibes, and I get those Harry and Meghan vibes. And I don't know if Rachel Lamb made that comparison or just someone I was talking to who's also a YouTuber about this. Jew and Greek says people lie about child abuse every day in divorce court and custody battles. And that might have been the whole Eileen Gray situation as well. Because the guy wasn't allowed to give evidence of confabulation, meaning that they were coached into saying that the children were coached into saying that they were abused. They weren't allowed to bring that up in court as evidence. So there, I don't know. The justice system has some major flaws within this regard. And I think the ability of people to lie in court is, it happens. So people do lie about these things. We've been through the Me Too movement. We've seen Amber Heard's trial where she lied about things. And the Me Too movement, despite the fact that the culture has moved on from the Me Too movement, the church has not. The church wants to live in Me Too. And I think that's because, you know, there's a lot of feminists in the church. There are a lot of feminists in the church that want to live and revel in the Me Too movement. And that's just not biblical. And it's going to lead to a lot of dangerous situations. And it ultimately goes against God's created order, because you're creating, you're kind of overthrowing male headship in favor of a gynocracy. And this was kind of the thing with Owen Strand, if you're familiar with who that is. He had a tweet about marriage, and he's, you know, kind of a woke big Eva type that's now really a more of a mid Eva type. But he's he was a seminary professor or dean, provost or something like that. Now I don't know where he's at. But he basically talked about marriage, and the way he talked about marriage was essentially, if you applied Christ and the church, you know, that marriage, it would be basically like the church doesn't have to listen to Christ if, you know, we think that Christ is being mean about it. If we think that Christ is being bossy, we don't have to listen to Jesus. And that's kind of what Owen Strand was saying about marriage. And it was kind of ridiculous. And it, essentially, it is egalitarianism that, you know, the husband is head of the household. The husband is head of the household, but only where the wife allows them to be. So, and yeah, conceptual clarity, making the point that I made earlier, Joni Lamb being in charge of Daystar is indeed wrong biblically. And yes, I think that, you know, female pastors is wrong. I think that's wrong. Everywhere in America, everywhere it's been tried has led to homosexual affirmation, wokeness, and we can get into other things. Hypercharismaticism is definitely stems from female pastors, because the Methodists invented that. And from the Methodist, we got all of these messed up movements in evangelicalism that are really distinct from what the Protestant Reformation created. So I kind of think of Methodism as the anti-Reformation in a way. So I'll take some last thoughts before I kind of jump out of here. This is going to be a short stream. But is Daystar the church? That's a good question. Parachurch ministries, I think, should operate similarly to the church. Like, I don't think we should violate Christian principle of male headship just because it's not a local church organization. So I'll use politics as an example. I don't think a female president would be a good thing for the United States. And I know for a fact a female Supreme Court justice has been bad every single time it's been tried. Like, Amy Coney Barrett's not a good justice. She was good on one issue, and she's been pretty liberal on every single other issue. And she might even be liberal on the transgenderism issue if the transcripts of the Supreme Court are any indication. So there's a lot of things, you know, I don't think it works. I don't think the girl boss, I don't think a girl boss is conducive to leadership in Christianity. I don't think it works. So totally sexist, totally patriarchal and, you know, politically incorrect opinion there, but that's what I believe. And, you know, is there a specific Bible verse that says that a parachurch ministry can't be run by a woman? No, but there isn't a Bible verse on parachurch ministries, but they exist. And, you know, we got to apply biblical principles to them. So those are my thoughts on that. Let me know if you have any more questions. Until then, let me just say, hey, if you like this kind of content, do subscribe to the channel, to the podcast. If you are new, new subscriptions help channels the best on YouTube, where they help videos the best as well. So there's that. I also have a book, Winning Not Winsome, 10 Commandments of Spiritual Warfare, which is available on Amazon, linked in the description below. And that book is about, it's about practicing discernment. It's about discernment ministry. It's about fighting for the church at a local level, at a cultural level. So it's a little bit ahead of its time, because a lot of pastors are talking about, this is the time to build. This is the time to build things. I know Mark Driscoll has definitely made a point about, this is the time that we have a reprieve. This is the time to build. That's chapter 10 in Winning Not Winsome, the 10th of the commandments of spiritual warfare. Is about building, divesting and building. But, you know, if you need help finding a church, this book can help you there. But it also talks about not elevating people beyond what they should. It talks about how we should argue and engage in the culture war. So it's a very practical book. If you liked The Boniface Option by Andrew Isker, you'll like this book. And if you like Shepherds for Sale by Megan Basham, you'll like this book. It's kind of a hybrid between the two, stylistically speaking. So let's see. Formosan Black Bear with the base comment that all libtards are funded by commies directly or indirectly. I think some people are just simps. Like, they would just do it because. So that's my opinion. Some people just believe in the cause. Some people believe in the cause. So without anything else, no other comments, I'll just end the live stream right here. We'll keep it nice and short tonight. So have a blessed day or night. Stay based, Christ is King, and we'll catch you on the next one.